Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 14th day of August, 2021. I'm your host, Mark Call, and this evening's going to be a little bit different show than usual because I've got a special treat, and that's for me as well as the audience. I'm going to share with you a conversation I had this week with a friend, a past co-host of a show I did on another network, author, and a just all-around good guy, Daniel Holdings. So it's always difficult. Every time I get a chance to talk to Daniel, we tend to have so many things to talk about that we overrun the hour. We'll try to at least rein that in a bit. But let me say good afternoon, Daniel. It's great to talk with you, and it is quite a week. I'll let you just kind of start things off. I have a theme in mind I already kind of hit you with here just before the top of the hour. But no doubt about it, there is a lot going on. And how are you doing, too?
Well, Mark, I'm doing well, and thank you so much for having me on. I haven't been on the radio with you since you were sick, and I am so glad to see you up and around and back on the air, and I'm sure the listeners are as well. It has been a crazy week and getting crazier. I feel like I'm in the upside down land because, everywhere you look, common sense has just went out the window. I mean, it just doesn't make sense anymore. And people are scratching their heads and wondering how in the world, can all of this go bad so fast? But Mark, from the financial arena to the economic arena, I should say, to the food production and logistics arena, to the government arena, to you name it, it is just gone crazy. And I'm afraid, my brother, this is just the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I think, well, and, you know, it's kind of trite at this point to say we've been talking about this literally for years and suggesting that, we'll know it when we get there. We've seen it coming for a long time. And we're beyond the point where it's obvious what's happening. As you were describing it, I was thinking, one of the best descriptions probably comes from Lewis Carroll and Alice in Wonderland and things like the Red Queen and the Queen of Hearts, off with his head, and I can believe six impossible things before breakfast. We're in that kind of a world. The Bible describes it too, saying they'll call evil good, good evil, replace bitter for sweet, and so forth. All of that has been going on. I'll throw out the one little movie line that was kind of on my mind as I was setting up for the show this afternoon, and that was from Star Wars, where Han Solo and Princess Leia and Luke are all in this little chamber. They don't know what it is, but it turns out it's a garbage disposal. The walls are fixing to close in, and he looks up and says, "I've got a really bad feeling about this." And that pretty well describes, I think, most listeners, because just about everybody at this point knows that things are truly out of control.
It is really amazing to me. But Mark, I started off as a fiction writer years ago, and one of the things that I wrote in those novels that I started off writing with was that the elites, or the New World Order, or the powers that be, if you will, had a plan, and that they were going to go with this plan and step by step implement this plan till they got the world that they wanted. And those are fictional books, but the father gave me those, the Ruach gave me those, and that is how I came up with that idea in the first place. And sure enough, what we are seeing, Mark, in every echelon, as I said, is this plan being implemented. And it is being implemented with haste. I mean, what we are seeing is staggering in the speed by which they are putting things into place. But, as I've said so many times, it's only because it's a setup. And we are smack dab in the middle of the setup. Yeah. For instance, And I know you, you know, follow economics and the financial arena well. Just yesterday, Biden okayed this huge, I mean, it was huge, this huge infrastructure bill.
Yeah, and, you know, a trillion here and a trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking real fake money. We're yeah, go ahead.
Well, but, you know, he had complained in the past that Trump had increased the national debt by X amount of dollars. And here he does, almost wipes it out in one fell swoop. The point is that they have to crash the system. Remember what I said. This is a plan. They have to crash the system because a strong dollar cannot be anywhere in the makings of the next round of currency that they develop, and they are already on the verge of developing, I believe, a digital currency that will be the digital fiat currency, not fiat currency,
cryptocurrency, currency
of the world.
The Fed dollar,
but they have to crash the dollar.
Fed coin. Well, and just before we came on air, I was reminding myself and you too, we are coming up on the 50th anniversary of the fiat dollar, when Tricky Dick Nixon, August the 15th, 1971, reneged on the plan and the promise to pay foreign banksters, you know, the American people who long since been robbed of first their gold and then their silver, and the dollar was nothing but paper to everybody except foreign banksters. But at the point where they reneged on that promise, we were literally a world without anything, any anchor to reality. And so as a result, I guess you'd say it's kind of amazing. The dollar has lasted about as long. It's about as long in the tooth as any fully fiat currency. But here we are 50 years later, and you're right. They're pulling the plug on it. One way or another, it's coming down. Everybody's heard about Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset and so forth. But that is one of several things that were there. And you're right about the haste. One of the things I'll suggest that is responsible for the haste, too, is as they realize that the jig is up and that Fauci has been exposed as a criminal liar and a traitor and worse than Dr. Joseph Mengele on so many fronts. I mean, he's killing more people at this point. And even though it's not obvious to those that are dead men walking, they'll figure it out eventually. But by that time, it's too late. And all of these things mean that they have to hurry. They got to get the rest of the people vaccinated before those that haven't taken the poke realize that everybody else is dropping like flies. And the same thing goes for the economic system. They have got to get that pulled apart before people start waking up to the hyperinflation that's coming and saying, oh, I better protect myself. I better buy what I can. And the supply chain is broken and so forth. So on almost every front, they are moving rapidly with this great haste because honestly, they got no choice. The jig is up.
Well, and, you know, speaking of the jig being up, what happens, audience, when we see the if you look at history, when you see economics or the fiat currency of a previous government collapse, what happens most of the time is a diversion. So what will happen in short order before the people really wake up, Mark, is they will create a diversion. They've already tried doing that. I think, you know, they're salivating over civil war, and certainly that's coming. Does it force COVID vaccinations is one part of it. We can talk about that in a minute. But
yeah, we got to talk about
that. The other distraction will be world war. And, you know, just this week, Russia and China are have embarked on one of the, if not the biggest war exercise game between their two countries that that are pointing directly at America and saying that their goal is to take down American dominance militarily. So we got two enemies, Russia and China, teaming up against the United States. And at the same time, and I don't know if you realize this, but at the same time, this week, the United States has also embarked on the world's the biggest naval exercise in American history.
Yep.
Where they are actually exercising over the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Mediterranean, and the Gulf of Oman, which is just off the coast of Iran. So you have, you know, the superpowers that they that we know of all, you know, thumping their chest and waving their fist in the air and say that they're about ready to rock and roll. I guarantee you, audience, when the dollar crashes, that war would kick off in a big way, because it has to, Mark.
Absolutely. You know, you're absolutely right. I was going to mention that in case you you didn't, but we're seeing exercises, and as you know, exercises as a general rule have been used to move things into place. It's about logistics and prepositioning troops and materiel and food and the kinds of things that armies need and navies need in order to be able to do what they've got planned next. And of course, one other big thing that's going on this week, and I really am curious to get your take on this one too, as a veteran and probably with quite a few contacts. Certainly, I'm sure in the retired military community, but probably, and maybe you know some that are still on active duty. In any case, as you know, one of the guys who I would say is one of the biggest military traitors in U.S. history, Lloyd Austin, along with the Biden Fuhrer, the communist Chinese puppet, who is arguably the greatest traitor ever to infest the White House, and he's followed in some big steps on that score, have announced that they're going to poke all of the active duty military, whether they like it or not. And I guess my first reaction was to say, wow, communist China and those that are pulling the puppet strings are probably laughing, because at this point, if the United States military commits double Harry Carey, they poison those who don't have the good sense to say, take this job and shove it, by forcing them to take the poke, and who knows how many of them will die or become, you know, various cardiomyopathies or blood clotting issues, all kinds of things that could completely destroy and gut a military. And then the ones that have the intelligence to know better will leave, especially the officers who can and who can get out while there's still some good getting. So on all of those fronts, these things are they're horrific for those that are paying attention. I can't imagine a worse place to be than in a on the precipice of World War III with a military that's committing suicide. Anyway, I'm curious, what's your take? You probably know some folks and have some inside information I might not have heard. Go ahead.
Well, let me just say first off that when they allowed the COVID vaccine to be used under the emergency provisions, it specifically says in there, Mark, I know you know this, that they cannot force anyone to take it, that they cannot, and they went against, you know, that provision in the guidelines from the very beginning. You've had nurses in hospitals, doctors that have been forced to take the vaccine or be fired. You've had teachers being forced to take the vaccine. And of course, now they've gotten around to the military. Oftentimes, the military is used as guinea pigs anyway for such things. But, you know, the idea that they would force an experimental vaccine, quote unquote vaccine, on the military is insane. And it is an example of where we are right now. It is pure insanity for anybody with any common sense. But as far as what the military thinks of such things, the guys that I know that are still in or that have recently got out, it would cause open rebellion. I mean, people that are in the military are strong believers in their rights, for the most part, at least my generation was.
Yeah, they're willing to defend the country and risk their lives to do it for those things.
And to think that they are being forced or will be forced to take an experimental vaccine, there are a lot of people that won't stand for that. And so, you know, you just can't quit the military out. It's not like you sign away your life when you sign up, and you agree to stay in for X amount of time. So it's not like you can just walk away. So I believe, Mark, that will lead to open rebellion by the military. But again, it is what they want. They want this huge division in our society, and it's exactly what they're going to get if they keep down this road.
Exactly. Well, and I guess the question is, and here's where the war gaming happens, you know, how does that manifest itself? Because obviously there's certainly a military tradition, a long one, of following orders and being a good soldier and doing what you're told. And yet a whole lot of them recognize the point of the Bill of Rights and the fact that when you start forcing people to do things, or when you order the military to do things that are not just counterproductive, but that are literally treasonous, now they have a decision to make. And, you know, we'll find out in September how that's going to look. Let's suppose, for example, that there were huge numbers of military that said, no, I'm not going to play this game. I'm going to leave. Now, I suspect that there'll be some of them that are going to be offered huge incentives to sign up. We saw that with military pilots when they had shortages a few years back. Hey, you know, how about 50 grand to sign up for another tour and so forth? And by the way, I would not be surprised to see that there would be NDAs and non-disclosures. In other words, you're not allowed to tell anybody in the military, or especially the press, although they wouldn't report it anyway, how much money you got or what disincentives you got for not leaving and so forth. But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I guess I'm kind of watching. I don't quite know exactly what it's going to look like, this open rebellion that you're talking about, other than to say, if nothing else, I would expect that we're going to see huge, what's the term, there's a military term for disunity in the ranks and basically bad esprit de corps as a result of it. It undermines the authority and it undermines the fighting ability of a military force for sure. And I'm sure the Chinese are aware of that.
Well, you know, it's funny because everything that they're doing now is doing that, Mark. They are, and again, I'm of a different generation of military people. What we are seeing now is, the generals in command, they are actively pursuing policies to divide, the military from their, how can I say this? Their social moray or their belief system, everything from, you know, wearing, making people try on high heels, making guys walk around in high heels for the sake of having them identify with transgender people to, you know, causing them to take a vaccine that they don't believe in, to saying, you know, you can't talk about the Bible. You can't own a Bible. So, I mean, everything that they are doing, they're just beating on the heads of the guys. And that is not good for esprit de corps.
Yeah.
But they don't care. Their whole purpose is to break down, I believe, the military. Because look, if in fact they're going to bring about, the end of the United States, the end of the Constitution, the end of the American dollar, and the end of the American way of life, they cannot have a strong military. But, you know, when they begin to heap all this stuff on their heads, I believe that's when we're going to see World War III break out.
And then the question is, you know, how demoralized is the U.S. military? And what happens as a result? I mean, do we lose some aircraft carriers? You can definitely see all kinds of ways that a nation that isn't united and doesn't know how to fight anymore and thinks it's more important to put on a belly pack and pretend that you're a pregnant transgender than it is to understand how to operate the deck guns is in a whole lot of trouble.
Well, I mean, you know, just the... the idea that, you just said it, the military doesn't know how to fight anymore. I mean, that's not everyone. There are guys in the military, that would whip my butt, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But the point is that as a whole, the unit as a whole is not what it once was. And I dare say that it's been very, how can I say this? The way that the military, first of all, let's go back just a couple of years ago when they came out with a report that said there's no way that the American military could fight a war Now, folks, this is very serious because if you remember World War II, we fought on, I believe, three different fronts at any one time. And now they're saying that we can't even fight on two fronts. So right. as they dismember, and I mean that, the military in the way that they've done, what they've actually done is made us so ineffective on the battlefield that we won't be able to defend against enemy attack.
Agreed. And again, the part of the problem, you always hear this in management circles and everywhere else. You have to know the enemy. This is Sun Tzu. You have to know yourself. You have to know who the enemy is. And I think a lot of soldiers are probably, and sailors and you name it, are going to be asking themselves the question, who is the real enemy here? Is it the invaders who are amassed at the southern border? Is it the traitor in the White House who usurped the throne and has allowed all of this? Is it the people who are now trying to force me to poison myself so that we're no longer an effective fighting force and trying to undermine our unit cohesion? There's another word. And unfortunately, I think that's a big part of the problem. The enemy is within. If you remember what Cicero said 2,000 years ago, it's the enemy within our own gates that is the real problem. And I know you. Okay, are you back back okay on board at this point?
I'm okay now. I was coughing up a lung, and you all didn't want to hear that. But, you know, again, this is, I can't say this enough. This is purposeful. What they are doing, I mean, military with its soul, especially, you know, the United States military, who has had military supremacy, for, you know, the last 10 to 15 years, any military worth its salt knows that you have multiple. Mark, they are the Chinese are actively running exercises aside from the exercise that I mentioned before on how to invade Taiwan, right up to you know modeling buildings that are on Taiwan and you know forecasting what the defenses would be like. In a blatant sign that this is their intent. Well, they've always said that Taiwan was theirs anyway and that they weren't going to let it go. At the same time, and this is in the same theater, but you have them building all those artificial islands, and now, you know, any foreign ship that are there, they are saying that it's a direct assault to them and that they won't put up with it. So you have... On every front, you're seeing this aggression by the enemy.
Exactly. Well, and that was part of the reason, Daniel, why I specifically have been using the word treason. Seems like a lot lately, but that is precisely, you know, the Constitution says treason shall consist in making war against the states and the people thereof, and that's precisely what's been going on for a long time. I think one of the things that really ought to be resonating with people now as they kind of come to grips with the level of perfidy that's involved, and of course it's not just forcing the military to take the poison poke. I call it the Zyklon B poke sometimes, because think about it. Hitler had to put people on trains, march them off to Auschwitz and Dachau and Bergen-Belsen, and then march them off to the showers. But what is the Biden regime doing? They're getting the, I'm going to say it, the dumbed down masses to inject themselves. Because, you know, they won't be allowed to buy or sell unless they take the poison poke. And that's a really, really nasty situation. Hey, let's pause at this point because the music will be coming up momentarily. And we'll pick it up there right after we get back from the bottom of the hour break because there's a whole lot of really important stuff we need to talk about today. Stay with us.
You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace.
back now, folks, for the second segment for this evening. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and with me today, special guest Daniel Holdings, author, radio talk show host, frequent guest in other venues as well, and also good friend and really interesting guy to talk to. So we spent most of the first segment talking about kind of the Alice in Wonderland upside down biblical evil is good and vice versa roles that are being played by not just Big Brother America, but Big Brother Russia, China, Big Brother Iran, Big Brother France and Britain. You name it, we got all kinds of countries that seem to be on board with the one world order, global reset, and let's put all the people back into a level of slavery that they never even began to see during feudalism. And I think that's one of the big keys here is the level of evil. And, of course, also the fact that the military is being undermined. That was where we were at when the bottom of our break came by. And the poke itself. The fact that there are a whole lot of people that are, I'm going to say it, they're literally dead men walking. And I don't know exactly how bad it's going to be. I think most of us that have been paying attention are in agreement. The Delta variant is nothing but a convenient excuse for labeling all of these deaths that the poked are going to suffer and blaming the unvaccinated for it and then moving towards more of the mark of the beast. All right, Daniel, let's, I'll say good afternoon again and, kind of pick it up where you want. We got all kinds of places we need to cover before the top of the hour music rolls on us.
Well, just finish up a thought from before the break. You know, we have on the other, another front is Russia that militarily we are being challenged. And then, of course, in the Middle East, we are also being challenged by Iran. And, you know, here's a funny thing, Mark. For years, and before I started walking this path, for years, I had suspected and said that Bible prophecy was stacked up in kind of a stack of various judgments that were going to happen all at the same time. That wasn't a popular thought. Because you had people like Kalinzi coming out with the late great planet Earth that said this was going to happen and this was going to happen and this was going to happen and this and this and this. And I said for the longest time, no, it's all going to happen all at the same time. And so what we are seeing, and I love what you say at the beginning of the show, that we need to come out of her so that we don't participate in her judgments. Because Mark, judgment is exactly what we are looking at. When we are talking about all of the things that are coming down on our heads right now, folks, this can't be anything but judgment. And so it fascinates me when you have people, as an example, taking the poke that look at, that watch the Communist News Network nightly and say, well, Dr. Fauci said this, or, you know, CNN said this, or even Fox News said this, or people, and they are oblivious to the fact that we are at the end of the age, and that all of these things that the Bible talks about that was going to happen are now happening. And that's kind of what we're talking about. In every arena and every echelon, you have all of these things occurring, including military conflict that's brewing. So what really gets me is that when you see something as biblical as the book of Revelation that says that without the mark of the beast, that you will not be able to buy or sell. And then you hear the authorities in our own country saying, or in, as an example, in France, who's really enacted some pretty stringent laws regarding the vaccination, and I hesitate to call it vaccination.
Yes, I know. Well, because it's not.
If you don't have this passport, then you cannot buy or sell. How much more biblical, Mark, do people need to get before they understand the times that we're living in?
Yeah, that's I think the amazing thing, Daniel. It is literally, I use the term in your face, it seems, a lot, because it's in your face. You know, they will deny scripture up one end and down the other. No, it doesn't matter. And then go right out and quote it, whether they're ignorant of that or not, by saying you're going to have the mark here that we're going to put on you, or you won't be allowed to buy or sell. And we got all kinds of other things, too. I think a lot of people were kind of shocked years ago. Remember when the military came out with the mark card? For those that were in the service, And they called it the mark. And I thought, this is just rubbing people's noses in what they're going to do. And in fact, that's what they did. They have been hounding and getting rid of all of those in the services, not as overtly at first as they are more recently, that have a biblical worldview. Don't let the door hit you in the you-know-what on the way out.
Well, and you know, that's really true. Guys that I knew that were long career men, they had, and of course, it's been a long time since I've been out. I've been out since the 1990. But guys that retired in the early 2000s, they were saying that they could see the writing on the wall. I mean, even back then, this anti-biblical worldview was certainly, you know, encroaching upon military leadership. And so what we're seeing now is absolutely that. I've heard it said that you better not have a Bible in basic training. You better not, you know, quote scripture or have a Christian conversation or biblical conversation with somebody that you would be punished for such things. So, I mean, it is they have really thrown things off kilter. They've really turned things on their ear.
Do you remember, Daniel, back when the term was there are no atheists in foxholes? And now I guess you can say there are no Christians, yep, no Bible believers, no Torah followers in the United States military. If they find you, they'll eliminate you. And it's about as, again, backwards, upside down, Alice in Wonderland as it can get. But the question I keep wanting to ask, especially now that they're forcing the poke, can such a military expect to have God's protection when they go into battle? They won't be allowed to pray. What do they get? Well, arguably, you've used the term judgment.
Well, I think this is exactly the point. If they can, and I don't know if they totally can, but if they can weed enough faith out of people that they would, you know, that they would, their troops would not even think about participating, not because they're scared, but because it's so foreign to them, then I think they walk into judgment anyway. I think judgment comes hand in hand with rejecting, you know, the Father, honestly, the Word. When we see the military today, and this is not true for all, everyone in the military. I know sure, that there are still some believers in the military, but when you look particularly at the leadership, the higher up leadership of the military, they are all atheists or out and out Luciferians for that matter.
Yep.
So, I think judgment is a given, honestly. When that conflict breaks out, and folks, it pains me to say this because I'm a patriot. I served. I would have given up my life for this country just because this is who I was. But I think what we are seeing is a military that, believes that they can rest on their own strength and judgment and
let flesh be their arm, in other words.
What's that?
Let flesh be their arm. In other words, the things that the Bible warns about is precisely what the military is now doing.
No, well, that's my thought. I mean, they are going to be left to their own devices. And I think, you know, turning away from the Father, turning away from the God of the Bible, they will get what they want. They want to live a life without the Father's leadership or the Ruach's leadership, then that is exactly what they will have. But you know, we are in the middle, and I've said this several times, we are in the middle of what I believe the Bible calls the great falling away, or the falling away,
yep,
that Paul said was going to happen. And I think what we're seeing is a nation, not only, Mark, a nation that's turned their back on God. That would be bad enough, okay? That would be bad. But a nation that has ceased to believe in the God of the Bible.
Exactly.
Stopped believing, period. And
well,
this is what's led to this falling away.
let me throw this out, because I completely agree, and I think part of the great falling away is a lot of people that have been told for years, oh, you're not going to have any difficulty, you know, before anything gets really gnarly, you know, you're going to get beamed up to the starship heaven, and, you know, you don't have to worry about any of this. And, in fact, if they'll read Scripture for what it says, turns out, no, that's not true. And it's not easy, it's not difficult to point that out. But let me throw this out, Daniel, because you've used the term judgments and also the plagues that are referenced in Revelation. I have for a long time kind of, I think on the same path that you're on, concluded that if you look at the bookends in Scripture and you see the prophecy about the Exodus, the first one, Moses leading the people out of bondage in Egypt or Mitzrayim, that we're going to see a greater Exodus. And this is talked about over and over again. It's talked about in Deuteronomy. It's talked about in any number of places. And the prophets, a greater Exodus yet to come. He's going to regather folks. And I can't help but think, you know, the symmetry of the Bible being what it is, that one of the things we'll see at this point, and that would probably be real soon, are the kind of mirror image 10 plagues that make up the back bookend for what's coming as we enter into this great regathering after the great falling away. And so 10 plagues, 10 judgments. But I want to throw this out, kind of get your take and let you run in whatever direction you want to go next. But if you look at the first 10 plagues, it's pretty easy to see that all of them had to do with the real God issuing judgments against the fake gods. The Nile River was a god. Frogs were gods. Various kinds of bugs were gods and so forth. And one by one, they were all held up by the real creator and author of Scripture. He said, you think this is a god? Let me show you something. You think that's a god? You think those frogs are gods? Hey, take a look at this. And I'm looking out and going, okay, you think Fauci is a god, the great god science? You think the vaccine is a god? You think that, you know, Hollywood is a god? You know, you could pick, I think we'd have more than 10 things that the United States and indeed the world today hold up as fake gods in place of the real one. And if they all come at once, that'll be something to behold. But even if they all came within just a period of a few weeks, the point would be made. So it's going to be interesting, I think, to see how all of that plays out. But there's not much question at this point that people are rubbing his face in it. And ultimately, I think there's going to be some real face rubbing from the other direction.
Well, you know, you made me think about something. So let's take a far out left turn here for a second, just because I think it's worth mentioning. You know, I believe that, and I'm sure you've heard me talk about such things, I believe that we are very close to disclosure.
Okay.
And all right. So the whole idea that there are aliens and that there are UFOs and when you look at, you know, the stuff that happened on with the Nimitz pilots and a ton of information out there, there is
the
definitely
UFOs
something
and
out
so
there.
Forth.
But without getting into too much detail, I believe and have said for many years that these are fallen angels in disguise. So when you talk about the plagues at the end of the age, the plagues that mirror the plagues of Exodus, what I think we are waiting for is them, these supposed beings from another planet to show up and say, the God of the Bible is not your God. We made you. We are your creators.
Yep.
And then what I think that you will see is the real God of the Bible will do just as you said. He will begin to whip up on them. And you will see, because what the Bible talks about is that that they will do false signs and wonders. And these supposed beings could actually do false signs and wonders. But you know what? The Father's not going to put up with that kind of thing for very long.
Yep.
And I think you will see severe judgment because, you know, anyway, what do you think of all that? I mean, that's crazy talk, Mark, but I think that's part of the equation that we need to talk about.
Yeah, of course. And you and I have talked about it, probably mostly offline, because, again, this is the kind of thing that is, for the most part, speculation. But to the extent that I think all of us can see it, we can read Scripture, we can say, that sure looks to me like what it's talking about. That sure looks to me like what I would expect. And all of us, I'm sure, have heard various reports. I read Lieutenant Colonel Corso's book years ago at the urging of a fellow named Bert Rutan, a big aircraft designer who lived right near Area 51, had lots of interesting stories about TR-3Bs and so forth. So, yeah, we've all, I think, if we're involved in aviation or with the military in various ways or inside stories, have kind of heard some of these things. And so we tend to suspect that that's where it's headed. And certainly when it comes to another form of the great falling away, the idea that a lot of people could be convinced, oh, the aliens made us. That explains how come evolution was always such a big bunch of hooey, because there were never any missing links found. And we had no idea where the original, multicellular or even single cellular life came from, or even for that matter, complex proteins and the DNA, double helix. Why are they always with the same right hand or left hand orientation? You never find any opposite twisting DNA. Isn't that amazing? You'd think by now there'd be all kinds of stuff. The answer is evolution is a bowl of crock. And as a result, they have to come up with something new. And this is one great way to try to fool them again.
But I think at the same time, Mark, you have to subdue the population in order to accept such a thing and bring on such chaos that when these beings show up, they're going to say, hey, we're here to help.
Exactly. Well, and they're doing that.
We're here to fix things.
Right? How about a few billion dead people or a world war or massive famine? That would be exactly the kind of thing that sets it up, along with the Great Reset and the huge economic collapse that's, I would say, already baked in the cake.
Well, speaking of bacon, not B-A-C-O-N, but B-A-K-I-N-G. I'm actually working on a new film right now. I'm writing, scripts these days. This is a documentary with Steve Quayle. I don't think he would mind me saying, but.
No, go ahead.
It's called The Mega Drought. And it talks about how the waters of the earth are drying up, at least on the West Coast. But at the same time, Mark, it is just unbelievable to see how much of the world is actually on fire. I mean, there are fires in Greece. There are fires in Italy. There are fires on the West Coast, over 100 that I counted last.
Siberia's on fire, too.
Russia, where it's supposed to be frozen. It is unbelievable. And we have, okay, so this is an area where you, I'm sure you have very strong thoughts about. We are told that this is due to man-made global warming. And here is another area that they have kicked into high gear, because my sources say that much of this weather are the results of these
ionospheric. You're talking about things like HARP.
All over the world, I should say.
Ionospheric manipulation. Is that what you're looking for?
There you go. So this is another part of their plan to bring about this dimming of sunlight. And many times I think of it as, terraforming the earth. They're literally trying to change, at least on a temporary basis, the ionosphere of the earth, the atmosphere of the earth, to cool it off. Because according to them, global warming is the cause of all of these problems. It's not just fires either. There are floods in other parts. There are wild weather. There are places that are icing up and other places that are melting. It is unbelievable the kind of things that are going on with the weather. And again, Mark, just heap some more on here. It is all part of the Father's judgments.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that I think has helped obscure this, that has been done deliberately, if you can shift the various types of flow of heat transfer, in other words, the jet stream, for one example, the Gulf Stream in the oceans, for other examples, things like La Nina and El Nino, all of those have massive effects, not on overall temperatures so much as they do on distributions of temperatures. In other words, we'll freeze the East Coast while we bake the West Coast and the like. And on average, the temperature may be the same, but the people in those areas are saying, oh, things are sure weird. Must be man-made global warming. Oh, maybe I better take the poke. It'll protect me against COVID. It'll protect me against that, too. You know, they're willing to believe six impossible things before breakfast. Why not? Hey, in the last couple minutes, I want to throw out one other thing. I think this will help connect a couple of dots, too, because certainly one of the things that we started with this, we'll kind of end with it, that Scripture has a certain resonance that even the atheists, I think, are going to have to acknowledge. This idea of take the poke or else you won't be allowed to buy or sell. That sure sounds a lot like Revelation. And one of the things that's let's just try about I'll throw out about three more things in the COVID field as we're wrapping up. One was that the CDC decertified the bogus PCR test that they used to come up with all the false positives. And now they're saying, oh, that wasn't a very good test. That's saying that for a year. But the interesting thing is, if you already know that people that are full of spike proteins are going to test positive for it, and you don't want the vaccinated crowd to test positive because that doesn't look good, well, then you decertify the test, and then you can't say that there's any way to test. So we can just pretend like the numbers don't matter because, well, we lied about the numbers anyway. And I saw this in an article by Hodges. He gets credit for pointing out some obvious things. This is the first time in U.S. history that a medical treatment, in other words, the DNA-modifying so-called vaccine that's not, has no contraindications. Pregnant? Nursing mothers? Little kids? No! Take the poke! Sick? No! Take the poke! In other words, you can't take the blue pill or the little purple pill without hearing it may cause various kinds of bad things. But when it comes to the poke, nothing bad could ever happen. You might drop over dead, but we're not going to tell you that. So that's one. And the other is, this is the first time that the God-given immune system that's worked so well for all of human history, where people who have had the COVID are basically told, you still have to take the poke anyway. We don't care that God has now given you an immune system that'll produce antibodies and fight this thing. You must still take the poke. We want to get rid of those antibodies. So there are all these things that are being done to eliminate the control group. In other words, silence first those that know what's going on, and then try to kill them. Because if it's obvious that a whole lot of people aren't dying, but the people that they have been lying about that have been convinced to take the poke are dying, well, they got a problem. And that's kind of an interesting thing. And it all goes back to, again, this idea of the plagues, the judgments, the great god science that turns out to have been a lie, and all the various other great gods like Twitter and to Facebook that have been used to silence the truth. Go ahead, Daniel. We got about a minute or so. Take us out.
Well, Mark, you know, we started today talking about how in every arena, at every echelon, we are seeing judgment fall upon the land. And I think there is no better indication of that judgment than the idea that the world has lost its mind. People are, in fact, calling evil good and good evil. And if you dare stand up for the word of God, then or the Torah, you will be told that you are no good, you're mean-spirited, or worse. And it will not be long before they turn on us as well.
I certainly agree, and I guess that's the way I'll wrap up. The whole idea of what's being done to people, right? The unvaccinated, those that believe in Scripture and put the God of the Bible ahead of the God of Fauci are going to be marked with the Fourth Reich equivalent of yellow stars. And I really hope people recognize that and say an emphatic no to it. And they got to say no, sadly, a lot more forcefully than the Jews in Nazi Germany did, facing what looks like, in hindsight, a far lesser evil Third Reich than the massively evil Fourth Reich, with far more insidious propaganda, a more pervasive control grid, and now nastier bioweaponry to boot. Hey, thanks, Daniel. Great talking to you again.
Yeah. Audience, thank you so much for having me. And Mark, thank you so much for having me. And I so much appreciate being with you. And I'm glad you're on the mend, my brother.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I certainly appreciate all the support from the listeners and the prayers for sure. So thanks again, folks, for being with us, and thanks again to special guest Daniel Holdings. We'll do it again soon.